Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your lunch and welcome. My name's Tara Joseph. I'm with Reuters and the Board of Governors here in the FCC in Hong Kong. Before we get started, a quick plea to switch off your mobile phones, please. We have a lot of media filming here today. And the usual housekeeping notes about upcoming events. Well, we are taking a bit of a breather for the next few weeks. It's going to be quieter over the summer months, though we do have a few events coming up. Next week, we'll be talking about the economic implications of the U.S. elections with Rob Cox, who's a U.S. Writer. He'll be visiting Hong Kong. And after that, it will slow down for a while, but do check the website for upcoming events. Now, it's been an extremely busy time in Hong Kong, and today we're here to talk about when the news and how the news is written actually becomes the news, and whether Hong Kong is really facing a bigger, longer, more worrying period of self-censorship in the media. I'm very pleased that Johnny Lau could come and speak to us today. He's a political commentator with about 40 years' experience in the media in Hong Kong and China, and he's going to give us his view about how worried we should be about self-censorship here in Hong Kong. We'll have a speech and also plenty of time for questions and answers at the end. But first, Johnny, please come up.
Tara, Francis, and all members of FCC, well, thank you very much for your invitation. Yeah, and it is the first time I stand here, well, to offer a speech. Yeah, in order to save the time, well, I think I will only spend about 15 minutes, well, to finish my speech, and then, well, offer more opportunity for Q&A. Yeah, and but before I come to my conclusion, I would like to give a summary of my case. Well, because perhaps some friends of us do not know my case in Xinpo. Yeah. Well, actually, I have I wrote an article in Xinpo on the election on the CE election. Well, in March this year, and. The outcome was my article was distorted, well, in at least 11 parts of my article. Yeah, well, I don't want to mention all the distorted parts. Yeah, I just cite some example. For example, the title. Well, very clear, the title of my article was I wrote both Henry Tang and C.Y. Leung should not I mean that I would not help either of either Henry Tang or C.Y. Leung, but the title was distorted as if I was asked to choose one of them. I would rather choose C.Y. Leung. Well, this was the title appear on the newspaper. And I wrote, I think C.Y. Cannot convince me that, well, he is a reliable political figure, but it was distorted as CY has a good image. It is only because he cannot express himself now. So you will find that all the content of my article has been distorted. Yeah. Well, if you would like to know the detail, I think you can find out there is an English version in the report of the Hong Kong Journalists Association. Yeah. So from this case, and I recall some cases after the handover. But I would rather say that at the beginning of the handover, I always tell my foreign friends, I am quite confident to the Hong Kong, to the press freedom in Hong Kong. Well, because I understand that at that time, the Beijing government did not want to change much after the handover. Yeah. But after 15 years now, I really want to say I have less confidence towards the press freedom and the freedom of expression in Hong Kong now. Yeah. I would like to let you know some reasons. One of the main reasons is the policy from the North. Yeah. As far as I can recall, after the June 4 event in 1989, some leaders, including some editors-in-chief, was received in Beijing by Jiang Zemin. Yeah. And at that time, Jiang Zemin wanted to comfort the top people of the mass media in Hong Kong. Yeah, but he emphasized one thing. Well, he said he appreciated the capitalism in Hong Kong for one reason. What? Yeah, Jiang said the main reason he appreciates capitalism is who pay you, who will be the boss. Yeah, he appreciates this. Well, that means in the future, if I pay you, I will be your boss. Yeah. And after that, 2 years later, in 1991, there was a document by Jiang Zemin. Well, I emphasize that what I quote today is the document which has been made public. I don't have any state secret. I don't have any internal document. Well, all things are released in public. Well, perhaps in the past, our friends did not pay much attention to those material. Yeah. In 1991, Jiang Zemin has a document concerning the preparation for the handover of Hong Kong. Yeah, that means it appeared 6 years before the handover. Yeah, and in the document, Jiang Zemin said the future preparation for the handover should focus on fine participation. Yeah, five areas. Well, to participate. Well, first, participation in politics. Yeah. Second, participation in economy, in the economy of Hong Kong. Well, that's why we can find that there are a lot of Chinese enterprises coming to Hong Kong in the 1990s. Yeah. The third participation is participation in diplomatic issues. Well, because at that time, the Chinese government is dealing with the British government in the process before the handover. Yeah. And the fourth participation is participation in grassroots and general public level. Yeah. So you can find that DAB, that is the Diplomatic Alliance for Betterment of Hong Kong, DAB, was established in 1992. Yeah, was just 1 year after Jiang Zemin's speech. Yeah. And the last participation, and also the fifth one, that is the participation in culture. The term of culture in Chinese mindset, it includes mass media, ideology, mindset and thinking. Yeah. So from that time onward, we watched, there are a lot of concrete evidence showing that the Beijing government would like to influence, I would use the term influence at that time, not control. Yeah. So after that, we will find that the Beijing government tried to influence the Hong Kong medias in different ways. For example, first, they tried to buy the shares of the Hong Kong medias. Yeah. Even though they would not buy directly, they would try to use different methods to control at least part of the shares of the Hong Kong medias. Yeah. The typical example is ATV. Yeah. I don't want to go into detail, and I think most friends here has the detail of the background. This is one of the typical cases that Beijing would like to influence the shareholder, the management board of the Hong Kong media. And secondly, they would like to influence the editorial policy of the Hong Kong media through their business sector. For example, advertisement. Yeah? There are some advertisement firm subsidized by the mainland enterprises in Hong Kong. They can control part of the share, part of the proportion of the advertisement area. Yeah. In the Chinese term, they always say that they have to consolidate their influence in the mass media. And on the other hand, they have to get the influence on the overseas or other medias which are not directly under control of the Beijing government. Yeah. So they would like to control the proprietor, the bosses of the media first. And then they try to influence the top management, for example, the editors-in-chief or their subordinate, to influence the editorial policy. There are some typical measurements for them to do that. For example, they always organize trip to the mainland to build up their connection with the local or the provincial leaders. On one hand, they would like the Hong Kong media know better the detail of the development in China. I don't accuse. I think we should know more about the general picture in China. We have to go back to China always. But very often they would like to educate the Hong Kong media, the top management, the development of China. But on the other hand, they would like to hide up the negative phenomena in China. And recently, they have become more clever to control the media in Hong Kong. For example, they would like to release some exclusive news to the media which are not under direct control of the central government liaison office. In the past, they only released the message, the news, to the media which are directly under control. But now, in the recent years, they would like to release the exclusive stories to the other newspapers to expand their influence. If you want to have more exclusive stories, you have to compromise with me. And this is another way to try to to expand or encourage the self-censorship on critical issues. After doing that, the Beijing government also would like to create some pressure on the Hong Kong press. Well, a typical case is the demonstration in the year 2003. Yeah. After 500,000 people marched or demonstrated, the Beijing government have sent a lot of watchdogs to Hong Kong to review the situation. And they came to five conclusions. Yeah. First, they said it was because the poor performance of the SAR government. Yeah. That's why so many people rushed on the street to demonstrate. Secondly, it was because the performance of the representative in Hong Kong, the central government liaison office, the official there did not understand the Hong Kong people. Yeah. The third conclusion was it was because of the economic crisis. That's why all problems emerged together. This was the third conclusion. The fourth conclusion was it is because of the influence from overseas country. This is what I described an evil mindset. To the Chinese government, they always think that, there must be something, some factors behind. Yeah, they come to the conclusion that must be under the influence of the foreign governments, especially the United States. Yeah, the fifth conclusion is they accused the media in Hong Kong. Yeah. They accused the media in Hong Kong to stir up, to stimulate the dissatisfaction of the Hong Kong people. Especially, they mentioned two commentators at that time, Wong Yuk Man and Albert Cheng. Yeah. Well, because they work in commercial radio at that time. Yeah. And of course, they also accused People's Daily. Yeah. So after that, they I know someone suggested to the central government to buy the shares of the Apple Daily. Or you can buy the share of the Apple Daily in order to control it. Really, someone suggested to the Beijing government to do that. Yeah. But after considering all factors, the Beijing government stopped this suggestion. Because also someone suggested to the Beijing government, if you buy the Apple Daily, I think Jimmy Lai will be very willing to sell it to you because he can earn your money and then set up a banana daily. So after that, they stopped the idea. Yeah. So all these things prove that the Beijing government would like to influence or gradually control the media in Hong Kong. But of course, on the other hand, we have to confess that the media in China has been improving quite a lot. Yeah. They would like to cooperate with the Hong Kong media or the overseas media. Yeah. Even though they are under the control of the party and the government, they still want to struggle. Yeah. So I hope in the future the Hong Kong media should keep on pressure to resist the influence from the Beijing government and also try to maintain and protect the freedom of speech, freedom of expression in Hong Kong, especially in the administration of CY Leung. I am afraid that he will perhaps in the future will do something, well, to further restrict the freedom of press in Hong Kong. Yeah. So it is a job, well, we are facing in the future, and it is also the responsibility for all journalists, well, in the world. Well, because only Hong Kong can protect and maintain the freedom of speech that the media in China, in the mainland China, would seize the opportunity to fight for the changing in mainland in the future. Yeah. So I think that I have taken 17 minutes, well, 2 minutes more. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I would like to open the forum to our friends here, and of course I would like to listen to learn more from our foreign friends. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Johnny. We have microphones, so please raise your hand, give us your name and your organization when you ask a question.
Thank you, Mr. Lau. Tom Holland from the South China Morning Post. You say the mainland authorities would like to control Hong Kong media. They don't seem to be doing a terribly good job. How would you rate their degree of success at exerting control over Hong Kong media?
Well, I think it's not only the intention of the Beijing government. Well, I would rather say that they did not want to control the media at the beginning of the handover. Yeah. But gradually, they are not confident in the development in Hong Kong. So they gradually would like to influence the press in Hong Kong. But I think they underestimated the reaction of the general public in Hong Kong. Yeah. They also cannot control the new media, especially the internet. Yeah. So I think even though they would like to have more influence to the Hong Kong press, they cannot achieve their purpose shortly. So I think it is a not a struggle. Yeah, it is a competition. Yeah, between the Beijing government, and the Hong Kong press, and also the Hong Kong general public. Yeah. So I think even though I have less confidence to the to the press freedom in Hong Kong, but I would not say I would give up. Yeah. I would not say I'm disappointed at this stage. Yeah. So it depends on our effort in the future.
Questions? Over here.
I'm Robin Wong. I'm just retired. I'm retired, so I don't have but the question I ask is, given the fact that the more you try to control the press, you know, the reaction of the Hong Kong people seems to be reacting more violently. I mean, seeing the last few weeks, you know, people, you have something like 400,000 or whatever number you can see that, how. I mean, what do you think will be China's future strategy? I mean, you know, in a way, it's a kind of dilemma, difficult, because the more you try to control, more try to suppress the press freedom, the more violence the people react, you know, and people more vocal and willing to say what they want. So what do you think will be the future strategy on trying to suppress the freedom of Hong Kong?
Well, I think even though the Beijing government would like to influence the press in Hong Kong, they have to implement through the Hong Kong government. Yeah, I think for example, the Hong Kong government, they have tried to change the way of releasing message. Yeah, and when we take a look on the arrangement, well, for the press, yeah, especially when the central leaders, well, come to Hong Kong, yeah, they have restricted, well, the measurements. Well, they will provide less convenience, well, to the press. Yeah, so I think that we have to negotiate with the Hong Kong government, especially with the police force, well, to fight more rooms, well, for our coverage. Yeah. And I think we can do another things, well, to protect our freedom of press. That is, we try to get more opportunity to communicate with the Chinese officials in Hong Kong. Yeah. Well, because we always find that it is because of their mindset. They are afraid of media, especially the foreign medias. Yeah, I describe that they are afraid of the foreign press because of the fear of unknown. They don't know why, but they used to to be afraid. Yeah. So if the opportunity comes, well, I think perhaps FCC can invite some officials, well, to the lunch meeting here, but of course not the officials from the CGLO, well, because they are not responsible for, well, to face the foreign press. But you can ask someone, well, for example, from the China Daily or, well, from the or something like that, I think, yeah. Well, if you can communicate with them, well, we can exchange, well, the content and the criteria, well, of freedom of speech, yeah. In my experience, Beijing will change, well, their mindset gradually, I emphasize. They will not accept all the things at one time. At one time, yeah. In the past, I always convinced them to understand more, well, about the press freedom, yeah. Every time, perhaps they only absorb, well, 1% of what I told them, yeah. And I don't think I am wasting my time, so I talk to them repeatedly, yeah. So every time they absorb 1%, and then I talk to them for 100 times. I am extraordinary patient, really, yeah. But I think, well, it is the best way for us to convince the Beijing government. And really, after the economic development, I think the Beijing government is also considering, well, how to face the political challenge in the future. Yeah.
So I just take on to that point? So do you think, given simply time and communication,
that the way the Chinese government treats the press will change. It's really a time issue as opposed to wanting to have the media act a certain way.
Well, it depends on how long. Well, I cannot assure, well, after a certain period of time, that the Chinese government will change the mindset. Nobody can assure. Yeah, but I think if we understand more about the development, well, in the civic society in China, yeah, we will find that even Hu Jintao or Xi Jinping, well, both of them are considering some new measurements to handle the challenge in the future. Yeah, but of course, they will not change rapidly. So when I talk with my friends in the mainland, I always first talk about their interests. Yeah. If they followed my advice, well, that will be beneficial or that will be good, well, to his own interest. If they reject it, they do not, well, take our advice, that will be harmful to them. Well, the Chinese official will only consider what they should do according to their own interests. Yeah. Of course, I also emphasize the common interest, the core value, well, of the human being, even though they don't believe. Yeah. But we have to insist. Yeah. So I think this is some of the methods to communicate with the Chinese officials.
Francis Moriarty, RTHK. 2 points, Johnny. First, you've talked about questions of affecting the ownership and then the senior level of editors. But I think the question that a lot of people are wondering about is self-censorship, that the reporters themselves are in some way censoring themselves by not asking certain questions or by asking softball questions or asking no questions or leaving things out of their stories or deliberately putting in factual mistakes or leaving out certain inopportune points. To what degree you think you see that kind of self-censorship at work. The second point is you mentioned you were worried about CY Leung and that he might take steps to constrict press freedom. You probably know him better than anybody in this room by far. What is there about him, given your knowledge of him in the past, that leads you to think that he may be disposed toward restrictions of press freedom, no matter what he says now to the contrary?
Yeah. Well, I think, well, it is a very critical point. That is the self-censorship. Well, in China or in the policy towards Hong Kong, well, the central government does not give concrete instruction. Well, always they only let the Hong Kong government know what the aim of the central government is. Yeah, they only will let them know the aim, the purpose, but they will very seldom to give concrete instruction. Well, they will not teach the Hong Kong government what to do. Yeah, so this create some pressure to the press in Hong Kong to expand the self-censorship. Yeah, for example, just take a look on my case in Xinpao. Yeah, before my article was distorted, I could write freely, including criticizing CY. Yeah, but after the central government has has pushed forward the order, CY would be the next chief executive. From that time onward, the editor or the management board of Xinpao changed the policy. Yeah. And because Xinpao is under the influence of some businessman from Guangdong, it was reported by the Apple Daily. Yeah. And after my article was distorted, well, I still wrote on I still wrote article for Sing Pao, but just a few days later, I wrote another article, well, to commemorate my friend Fang Lizhi, well, the scientist, well, who passed away in the United States. Yeah. After this article appeared, my column was immediately canceled. Well, so this shows that the self-censorship, well, in some media is really very serious. Yeah. They are afraid that their future income will be influenced or will be stopped. Yeah. And this is the very usual method of the Beijing government to control, well, the press in Hong Kong. And what CY will do in the future, I don't have any concrete answer. Yeah, but well, as far as I have known CY for many years, well, I am worried that he has some hidden agenda. Yeah, even though he said, well, Article 23 is not among his agenda in the future. I still think that he is waiting for some opportunities. Yeah. Well, because we will find that, well, he would like to build up his image through economic measurements, but he would also like to be a strong political figure. Yeah. And especially, well, to build up his influence in the political issues. Yeah. One day I spoke to him directly, face to face. Well, I advised him to build up his image first on the economic and the civil affairs in Hong Kong, and well, leave the political matters behind. Well, don't tackle the political issue first. But CY answered me, yeah, no. Well, he would like to change the mindset, well, of the Hong Kong people, especially on some political issues. For example, the resistance to the North. So this reflects that CY will be patient, well, not to influence or not to control the media at this stage, but because he understands that he cannot do much at this moment. Yeah, but whether or not he will do something in the future after, well, he has achieved some economic development, yeah, and get a higher prestige from the general public. Yeah. I still worry that, well, the political change and the control over media will be one of his hidden agendas.
We have time for one more question over here.
Thank you for taking my question. Jennifer Chang from China Labor Bulletin. I have a general question regarding the upcoming change in the party leadership. Zhao Ziyang once said that Hu Jintao and Wen Jiabao are the protégés of the old school. Like the political reform would not be very much likely under their leadership. But we know that Xi Jinping and Li Keqiang are relatively more open-minded. Do you think a political reform is more promising under the new leadership? And to what extent will that influence the freedom of expression and freedom of press? Thank you.
Well, it is another question. Well, it is mainly on China. Yeah. Well, I would like to answer briefly. Well, first, well, even though Xi Jinping is said to be more open-minded, I think he will not tackle the political issues after he becomes the general secretary of the CCP. Well, he will wait for at least 1 year or two to consolidate his power first. The political reform and also the Hong Kong issues will be less important in his agenda. Yeah. Secondly, the political reform will shake the administration of the Chinese Communist Party. They always emphasize that, well, they are carrying out political reform, yeah, but there are much limitation, yeah. What they are talking about political reform only focus on improving the efficiency of the party and the government, but not the not to release the power, not to release the tension controlling the mass media. So I don't think Xi Jinping will carry out political reform shortly after he become the top of the management. But it doesn't mean that we can do nothing. I always advise my friends in the mainland, try to expand the power of the people, especially their legal right. Yeah. If we pay attention to the non-government NGO, non-government organizations in the mainland, we will find that it is a great momentum to push China to change. Yeah. Altogether, there are at least 800,000 NGOs in China under registration, under official registration. This figure does not include those who has not registered. So if we can expand the civil society in the mainland, and on this aspect, I'm confident that the political reality in China will be changed gradually. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lau. We're going to leave it on that note. 2 o'clock. Just to state for the record, we have invited Si Wai Lung to come and speak to the club. And Wang Shangwei, we have invited as well to come and speak at the club. He did speak a few months ago here. So we will be bringing in people to speak more on this issue. And if you have any ideas of speakers that you'd like to hear, please do let us know. But for now, Johnny Lau, thank you very much. A small gift from the club. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And have a pleasant afternoon.
Thank you.